thank you girls very much. You know, the line in that song says, I sing because of what you've done for me. We should always be intentional about the way that we do things and how we do things because of what Christ has done for us. Amen. So as I squeak and squawk at you this morning, I pray that God will open our hearts this morning and we find something comforting out of today's message. I'll remind you again before we get started, Ezekiel chapter 37, that's where we'll be at this morning. Before we get started, if you're flipping through your Bible, hold on just a second. I want you to turn to the person to the right of you and tell them that God will get you through this. Don't be shy. Turn to the person on the left of you and tell them you don't fully understand God. Now, this is the hard part, to yourself say, I need to do what God commands me to do. That one may hurt. So it's hard to always do what God wants us to do. We're selfish. We do our own thing a lot of times. But today I want to share something with you about following God's Word. Before we get into that, of course, we always have to have a funny story. This one, the subject is not funny, but the end is. It is a story of a funeral. After dying in a car crash, three friends go to heaven for an orientation. They all ask the same question. When you are in your casket, friends and family are mourning over you, what would you like to hear them say about you? The first guy immediately responds, I would like to hear them say that I was one of the great doctors of my time and a great family man. The second guy says, I would like to hear that I was a wonderful husband and a school teacher who made a huge difference in our children of tomorrow. The last guy takes a minute and he replies, I'd like to hear them say, look, he's moving. Now, some of you may take a second to get that, but it's okay. So this morning, are we moving for God? Are we doing? Are we acting? As Jennifer shared with the kids this morning, there's only one person that can bring life back into which is dead. Amen? And that name is what? It's the name of Jesus. So, let's prepare our hearts, let's pray as we, before we read our scripture. Father, we come to you today. Cleanse us. Have us prepared to hear your word today. God, we come to you to glorify you. We come to you all that we do, whether we sing, we serve, whatever we do, God, we bring it to you as an offering. We pray that you would use that and bless us abundantly. And it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. So if you got your Bibles open, we'll be looking at Ezekiel 37. And what I'm reading from is the Holman Christian Standard Bible. I just like some of the words, the way it was used. So it's about the Valley of the Dry Bones. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by his Spirit and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were a great many of them on the surface of the valley, and they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? I replied, Lord God, only you know. He said to me, prophesy concerning these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord God says to these bones. I will cause breath to enter you, and you will live. I will put tendons on you, make flesh grow on you, and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you so that you come to life. When you eat, then you will know that I am Yahweh. So I prophesied as I had been commanded. While I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound. And the bones came together, bone to bone. As I looked, tendons appeared on them, flesh grew, and skin covered them. But there was no no breath in them. He said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, say to it, this is what the Lord God says, breath, come from the four winds and breathe into these slain so that they may live again. So I prophesied as he commanded me, the breath entered them, and they came to life and stood on their feet, a vast army. But he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Look how they say, our bones are dried up, and our hope has perished. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the Lord God says, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them, my people, and lead you to the land of Israel. You will know that I am Yahweh, my people, when I open your eyes on your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live. And I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I am Yahweh. I have spoken, and I will do it. This is the declaration of the Lord. Now, this passage in Ezekiel is pointing to a time, end of time, when God is going to give everybody, even though he's dead, another chance to confess, to submit, and acknowledge him as Lord and Savior. But today, I want to look at some practical things in our relationship with God and how we can see the things in this passage that we can use them right now. So in this passage, I believe that there's practical things we can use to get our relationship a little bit more on track and focused with God. We see some applications that are very practical to our daily use, our daily life. When we see a dark road, when we see that there's no light, there's no hope. As at the end of the passage, it says, we have no hope. I hope you don't feel like that today. I hope that you understand that there is hope. There's light at the end of that tunnel. Ezekiel saw the dead. He saw the dark path. He saw the seemingly finalization of death. We think death is the end. It's not. It's only the beginning of new things. There was nothing but death in that valley. Ezekiel saw no hope, no life, no breath, nothing. The joy has been a distant memory. By telling Ezekiel to speak life into those dry bones, the Lord was showing him his divine power, that nothing is impossible through him. If we prophesy life into the things that are dead, God will be faithful if those things are in his will, if they're from him. Maybe it's a dead marriage. Maybe it's a spiritually dead family. Maybe it's a spiritually dead church. I'm not saying it's this. I'm just saying. Maybe it's a church member, somebody that you know, a friend, that maybe their church is suffering. Maybe it's the loss in this community, the loss in this world. Maybe somebody that's ruined your heart is spiritually dead. Maybe this morning God needs to show you something that will open up your mind and your heart, and he will speak life and breathe life into that thing which is dead this morning. Ezekiel was faithful. And we see in the very beginning of chapter 37 that God was with him. Ezekiel wasn't alone. God had his hand on him. In verse 1 it says, the hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by his spirit and set me down. He was not alone. God was there. It's important to remember our relationship with God, that at times it might seem like he's not there. It might seem that he doesn't care about your situation. You might think, well, my problem is small compared to somebody else's problem. But God doesn't see it that way. God is there with you. Multiple scriptures show us in God's Word that along the way, along our paths, our trials, that God is with us. So in your bulletin, I know y'all got used to not having a sheet in there since Pastor David's come, but I gave you a sheet this morning to fill out if you would like to. So the number one thing is that we need to understand that He is with you always, and God will get you through this. God was with Ezekiel, and there is many times in Scripture where God shows you over and over that I'm with you, I'm right there. You might not see me, you might not hear me, you may not feel me, but I'm there. In Isaiah 43:2, it assures that God is present. It says, when you pass through the waters, it doesn't say, now, if you have, there may be come a time where maybe you have a hard time. No, it says when. When you go through those trials, when you go through those tribulations, when you go through a death, when you go through a financial situation, when you pass through those times, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. That points to twice in Scripture where God took care of that. Where He dried up the Jordan River and He parted the Red Sea. God shows us He already did it before. He can do it again. God is with you. Scripture by Isaiah shows us that, and it continues, when you walk through the fire, and again it doesn't say if you walk through fire, if you suffer those bad times. God says when. When you do. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Now, I'm sure most of you can remember in Scripture the book of Daniel, which and I think next week maybe we're going to start Sunday nights. That points to that Scripture. They got thrown into the furnace. Didn't even get burned. Didn't smell like smoke. That's God's assurance to you. He is there. Didn't see Him in the beginning, but He was there. Both these are assurances that God is there in our presence. Deuteronomy 31:6, it reminds us and commands us, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Never means never. I'll share another word. All means all. So never. He'll never forsake you. He'll never leave you. He's always there. The second thing I want us to look at today is it's hard because we can only think this big. God sees bigger. He sees more. He knows more. The second thing is, if you haven't figured that one out, we cannot fully understand God. And it's okay. And I want to show you in Scripture where it's okay. Verse 3, we see that God asked Ezekiel a question. It says in verse 3, then He said to me, son of man, can these bones live? I would imagine Ezekiel staring at all this death and all these bones and thinking, I have no clue. He says, Lord, only You know. Only God knows. We don't know things sometimes, and it's okay. But we just have to have the faith to follow what God wants us to do. Without seeing how it's going to happen, without understanding how it's going to happen, we just have to follow. Because He can do the impossible. God tells us it's okay if you don't understand. But you need to have the faith. In Isaiah 55:8-9, and this is on your sheet if you want to follow it. My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord. God's not saying, He's not throwing your face in, I'm better than you. He's just letting you know that we don't think alike. I know better and I know more than you do. That's a simple fact. Scripture continues, and my ways are far beyond anything you can imagine. So God is telling me, I can do things that you can't even understand. You cannot wrap your human brain around the things that I, God, can do. Continuing in verse 9, for just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways. God is on a whole other level than us. And my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. We can't think like God. We don't understand, but it's okay. Ephesians 3:20 shows us, now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think,
according to the power at work within us. So in Ephesians, we see, which is a few verses after our scripture reading from this morning, that God can outdo your requests. He can outdo your prayers. He can, for, you know, one up them, but really it's more than that. He can do 10, 20, 100 times fold of what you even can come to God with and present Him and ask Him. He can do so much more. Because our mind blocks. We have walls that we only see inside those walls that this is possible for me. This is what I can do. There's no wall with God. It's wide open. Luke 1:31, for nothing will be impossible with God. Jennifer read your scripture earlier, Matthew, I can't remember which verse, but our next one, Matthew 19:26, it might be the same one. But from Luke 1:37, I think everyone's heard this scripture, but do we really think that God can speak life into anything? Do we really fully believe with 100% of our heart, our soul, our being, that God can take something which we see as dead and bring life to it? Is there a friendship that's dead? Is there a marriage that's dying? Do you fully believe that God can restore that? Is there a financial situation you're going through that you see no end in sight? Do you believe that God can restore that and He can fix that? As we've seen this morning already in Ezekiel, the impossible is made possible through Jesus and only by Him. Jennifer said she can't give life back to those shells. I can't give life to those shells. None of you can. It's only Jesus. Jesus is the only power strong enough to do that. But I'll give you a little inside information. He needs us to accomplish some of that work as well. Matthew 19:26, but Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Too many times we place things on possibilities of how can we get it done? Okay, maybe if we get 10 guys together, we can get this done. It's not that easy with God. God does things that you can't do. We don't understand. We don't see Him working in the background. We don't see how God is constructing all these 10 situations around us to bring us into our perfect time. And I'll be honest with you, it's frustrating. I know it is. Waiting, it seems that we're waiting on God. We're not waiting on God. He's just preparing us and getting us ready. There have been a lot of things in the last couple of years that I was ready for. God wasn't ready for me yet. I thought I was waiting on God. He was waiting to get me ready. And so God shows us through Ezekiel, anything is possible if He is in control and He's at the center of it. If it's His will, it's possible. We see how Jesus can bring that life into the death. We see how He can bring loss to salvation. He did it with me. He's done it with a lot of you in this room. And bring us into a relationship with Him of trust. So we've seen in Ezekiel, in chapter 37, that the first thing is He was always with us. He was right there with Ezekiel. In the unknown, the impossible, God was there. And He will get you through this. The second thing is we cannot fully understand how God works. And it's okay. We're not supposed to. We just got to trust and have faith that He'll do it. The third thing is to show us how we can become a little bit closer to God. And you know, I believe if we do, number three, I believe we'll understand God a little bit more. I'm not going to tell you to fully understand because you're not going to. But number three is we should do what God commands us to do. Isaiah 40:29-31 says, He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They'll soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They'll walk and not faint. So those who trust in Him, they will follow His word. as best as we usually can, because we all know that we mess up and we sin. Because we love Him. We want to bring Him the glory that He deserves. I sing because all that you have done for me, that song. What do you do? Because everything you want to do is for Him. What do you do? Do you sing for Him? Do you do your best at school for Him? Do you do your best at work for Him? What do you do? He will give us a power that is amazing, that only He can give. We see in verse 7 from Ezekiel, and he said, "So I prophesied as I had been commanded." And Scripture doesn't say God told him to prophesy into those bones, and Ezekiel said, "Well, let me think about that for a minute. Let me go and pray on that." And God told him to do something, and he moved. And that's what we should be doing. If God tells you something, you need to move. Ezekiel did it. He was commanded. So he saw God move in an amazing, unbelievable way that seemed impossible to him and to us. But because he was faithful, he did what God told him to do. God told him, "You do this and this will happen." Over and over, God's word says that. Hey, guess what? Do this and this happens. It's easier said than done. In the beginning, I had y'all say, "I need to do what God commands me to do." Well, it's real hard to do that. Because sometimes we want to say, "Well, I don't really want to do that, because that's going to kind of interfere with my plans." It's not your plans, it's God's plans. Doing the very things that God commands, it shows Him trust on our part. And it shows our faith in a faithful God that thousands of promises throughout Scripture shows us how we must live our lives and how to obey. We have to be moving and doing it, intentionally living for God. Just like in that story in the beginning. Look, He's moving. You know what? Not when you're dead. I hope now in your Christian life, I hope people can look at you and say, "Look, He's moving. She's moving for Christ." Let's not wait till we're dead. Let's do it now. James 1:22 shows us, everybody knows this verse, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." John 14:23, Jesus answered, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." So this morning, do you love him? I do. God's done amazing things in my life. He has brought life into things that were dead in my life. I know He has in yours too. And I know, a lot of us right now, we may be in something right now that we need God to just breathe life into something that's dead, into some hurt, whatever you're going through. If we do love God, we should do what He tells us. It's real easy. It's just like our children. If you want to please your parents, if you want to see them happy with you, what do? Do what they say. If you want to see a God, a mighty, powerful God that loves you, that created you, happy with you, and pleased with you, what should we do? Do what He says. I know it's easier said than done because we're all human. And we don't understand how God works. We don't understand how He can do things. But it's okay. Because He is with you. You don't have to understand how He does things. You just got to have faith that He will do it. I truly believe that if we do, just like Ezekiel, if we do what God commands us, that we're going to see God move mountains and do the impossible in our lives. God is going to speak life into the things that are dead that He wants to see live again. And I fully believe that with all my heart. So this morning, as our musicians come up, I just want to remind you again that this morning there may be something you're struggling with. There's things that we're struggling with. How do you need God to speak life into that? Are you trusting Him with it? Or are you giving it to Him? What's blocking you from that? What are those walls? Are you confining your walls? Knock them down. Let God come in and let Him take care of it. Let God speak life into whatever your situation is this morning. I pray this morning that if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, don't leave here without making that decision today. If you have some business to do with God today, if you need to sit there and say, God, I'm not leaving here until I'm right with you, sit there all day, whatever it takes. If you need to come up to God's altar and pray, if you need to pray where you're at, if you need somebody to pray with you, don't leave here. Every day that goes by is one more day that we lose. We don't get it back. We can't get that day back. God can give it back to us if you want. We can't do it. So this morning, ask God to bring life into whatever's dead in your life this morning. I pray that God will use this church in a mighty way. I see that God is moving. My prayer is that when we look at this church, you know, if somebody asks, are we moving? Oh yeah, we're moving.
Bye. Can you stand with me, number 249.
Jesus paid it all. Everything. He gave everything of Himself for you. Everything of Himself while He was on this earth, when He died, and now everything He gave to you. And I pray that you would just find some way to give to Him. That we would see a moving and doing church that honors God and glorifies Him. First and foremost, over any one of our individual needs or wants or desires, because it's not about us. Let's pray.